sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome back to Crash Course, Cronenberg Retrospective. If you guys, a year ago, remember that we picked four for the entire month of March last year to watch Cronenberg, which is kind of like, I feel, enlightened us, made us maybe respect his work a little better.
Also because it was, I think, previously called the Cronin and Bonin.
Yes. And we reviewed four. We thought, okay, great. Let's do it again. So for the whole month of April, we will review four early Cronenberg movies. And this actually might be the last year because everything else is not horror.
It's not.
So.
And I'm not going to I'm going to tell everybody right now, I think Extend sucks.
Yeah, agreed. So this week we are reviewing Cronenberg's Rabid from 1977. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But before I do all that, we go back to TV Corner and we're reviewing Yellow Jackets season 3, episode 4, 12 Angry Girls and 1 Drunk Travis.
Yeah, which, holy shit, dude. They're putting this character Ben through the fucking ringer.
Yep. And he
keeps doing the right thing, and it's not paying off for him.
I know, yeah. Yes, this is it. They finally captured Ben, and he's finally, they're putting him on trial for reasons, and we've kind of had a divide. Let's start with the flashback stuff, right? Because I think that was probably the majority of the episode, right? The fun stuff.
So Lottie's acting whack as usual, but Shauna's just become a sociopath, like a psychopath,
unlikable, something. Yeah.
Just so unlikable and like just a horrible person. And for whatever reason, I think this is just like a fucking missight by the writers, but all of a sudden present day Shauna is acting the same exact way, which I'm like, wow, this is really convenient.
Yeah. I think that one of the biggest mistakes Yellow Jackets has made is that
I was letting Lottie live. When is she gonna die?
When is she gonna die? No, it's, I think they have this issue where I feel like structurally the show, the characters from the flashback should be mirroring somehow the whatever the present day story is.
Yeah.
And I feel like that since it doesn't, everybody feels kind of out of sorts. And this is kind of the thing why I don't like Lottie, because it kind of seems like young Lottie is kind of more, she's definitely like more sad, more like very, very less emotional. She's not making jokes. She's not like this annoying friend, you know, that she's kind of portrayed as an adult.
And is young Lottie rich? Like, has Lottie always been, because older Lottie, now that she runs that cult, is like super rich for whatever reason, right?
Well,
she can also steal stuff, but
originally that plane Lottie's dad chartered. She's always kind of had money, but she also, I think her, what is it? Her parents divorced, right? And her mom went to live in New Jersey and her dad stayed in New York.
So she's trash.
Why
would you go to New Jersey? Just kidding. George Chapin is a very good friend of ours, and he lives in Jersey.
Yeah, he does. And I feel like I thought this was an interesting trying to showing basically the how basically Shauna and Misty even steal power from Natalie.
And something that I keep forgetting to remember is Misty accidentally killed that chick, right?
And yep.
That hasn't been brought up.
yeah. Nor the black box.
Destroyed the black yeah. box, yeah.
Weird. And it doesn't seem like they know either, so... Yeah, it's.
And I don't understand her wardrobe this season. It's just like young Misty's wearing like baggy clothes. What could that be all about?
Yeah.
Famously, very pregnant during the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very pregnant. I think this was what I feel like the show gets wrong this episode, because I felt like we're back to the tilting like not so good stuff. I think yeah. Steven Kruger has been. Excellent actor, feels so underused in the show. He's amazing in this episode, I think.
Yeah.
And just as a performance, as a character, like he's totally just like empathetic and understandable and relatable as a character. And
yeah. So what are the writers trying to say about this character? Hey, don't be a failure, especially don't be gay. Cause, a bunch of straight white girls are going to pretend to be gay.
Pretend to be gay and not be gay later.
I'm assuming going to kill you or something.
Yeah, I feel like this is the last. I mean, if I want to get like kind of more what I believe the subtext here is that Ben kind of represents the last of the patriarchy of men, and the women are kind of finally kind of cutting him out, because Travis is there, but Travis is totally just like neutralized. He's been drinking the mushroom tea with Lottie and he's completely like lost his mind at this point. So
poor guy,
he's completely neutered. Yeah.
And we can assume, according to the way the writers have been writing characters, like they don't understand how drugs or substances work.
Right.
We're assuming Travis became a heroin addict because Lottie forced a bunch of mushrooms into him, which is not how that
works. Yeah. Anyway. Almost as like Travis was one of Lottie's first believers, right? Like in all of this nonsense. Because I think this season they're trying really hard to make things plausible, because now they're no really longer seeing things. They're getting they're breathing in all that gas from the cave, so they're definitely high and having visions and stuff like that,
which I have an issue with. I'm like, I feel like they always have a fucking open candle nearby and nothing ever blows up or like,
right. Like exactly.
What is going on? What is this gas coming from the earth then?
Yep, exactly.
It's the hysteria gas.
Yeah. And again, like, I think it's interesting that Misty, I kind of forgot about all that stuff about Misty having feelings for Ben. So that kind of got brought back up and stuff like that. And she even mentions that's her first boyfriend. And it's good. And she has to defend him. And really well. This whole trial stuff was, I thought, unbelievable, but still enough well written that it was fine.
I think it's just a good choice for the Natalie character to always have been as grounded as that character has been. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the first season, we just assumed that the Natalie character was the one that was like the most gone because of how aggressive Juliette Lewis played the character.
Right.
But in the flashbacks, yeah, like Sophie Thatcher is the only, like, you believe every choice she's making.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like the Shauna and Lottie characters are just making like wildly outlandish decisions out of like passion for what? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that. What'd you think of the trial? Do you want to just give a quick opinion on that, and then we can move on to the present day stuff?
I understand why the conflict was written in, but I just think it wasn't executed all that great. Like having Shauna randomly be like, no, fuck that, even though they've already made a decision. So I'm like, what are the rules? Because it seems like every time Shauna makes a decision, they're like, oh, I guess that's the decision. I'm like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
And her new girlfriend that's going to do whatever the fuck she says. And
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. That felt kind of goofy. I feel like it could, I don't mind the way it came out. I wish it was more like 12 Angry Women or something. Not, let's just flip flop the decision real quick.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I think they've kind of, for the most part, written the Natalie character well, because it's kind of like she's always had like this tragic arc, right? Like from her parents being really shitty, and then, you know, guys using her. And
something that's bothered me also this season is, what's with the distance and gap between Natalie and Trevor or Travis?
I think
like just last season, they were still kind of like, oh, we like each other.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like we've missed a lot, because technically they were in the woods for about 18 months. We are 3 months away from them being rescued.
Oh.
So we're really close, because it's already going to be winter technically again, right? Like soon. So
do we miss them eating more people? Because if not, they got to get the ball rolling eating more people. So I feel bad for them.
I mean, I don't know.
Otherwise, they just ate one chick that was kind of an asshole. Like,
right? She's very fatty and not very good.
Oh no! Well, they ate Travis's brother, right?
They ate Travis's brother. Hobby, yeah, Hobby. Yeah. Not a lot of meat on the bone there. I don't know if that sustained them through the winter.
And they also didn't have an air fryer to
evenly. So. Yes. I mean. I think that's part of the, I feel like this show's going to end next season. I feel like we're nearing the end because they're almost back, and I'm not sure once they're discovered how much post being rescued stuff we'll get from them.
That's why I think they're trying to reintroduce people back into the thing. Like, is Akilah still alive? It seems like they don't mention that other characters are still alive, even though they're fully aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah,
like is Ben still alive?
Right. He was sentenced to death, so he's gonna. Okay. Yeah. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought other people were gonna be dead too, and they're still alive. And like you said, they're about to be saved. And I think that's why they're reintroducing, like, oh, the forest is calling us back. I'm like, well, okay.
That's, and I know people. Okay. Hate it, but like Lost is kind of like what the structure of the show is kind of what Lost is like did so well, right? Because they were able to like do individual episodes and have time to kind of like flesh out characters and make individual episodes of past characters, and that kind of mimic what was happening going on in the present when they were on the island, and they had a better handle on like the narrative. I feel like that's kind of what struggles here. It's kind of like we skipped so many months, so we never really got to see Travis, an arc for Travis. He's just sort of neutralized, or Lottie, or any of these individuals really. So we're kind of missing finer points to it. And in fact, they're almost out now. So, it's just kind of, that's why I think that like by next season, my guess is that by the end of the season, they'll probably be saved. It will be where we were on season two when it opened. And that they're probably going to end up doing, like, my lizard brain theory is that they're probably the next season they're going to do like off they're going to be already saved, and they're going to be a bunch of stuff for them dealing with coming back.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or like they end the show and then just give From that time slot. Like,
is From coming back? Jesus Christ. Yeah. We didn't do any present day stuff, but Shauna blames Misty for everything, which was super funny because I just sent you that funny meme. Then what else? Oh, Shauna matches Jackie. She gets locked in the... Yeah, go ahead.
Jeff makes all the old people laugh at the nursing home.
Steals every fucking scene he's in. Oh yeah, my God.
He's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like him and his friend too, right? the other guy that who couldn't come in the what is it? What's his name? He couldn't come in the condom. He put lotion last season because he was having an affair.
Yeah.
He's right. Here. I forget his name. I should know. He probably knows his name. But yeah, Jeff, I feel like, yeah, all the men are the best actors. but no, I guess we should see that, you know, Taissa, after what happened last episode, that she's kind of like, again, on this thing, like basically an eye for an eye type thing, where it's like you kill somebody, which and then we
Van is on board with now too. Right?
Apparently, Van's on board, but to be fair, Van Taissa's had that pretty locked up. I mean, she kind of, Van's a total follower, right? So, and in fact, I think she was a believer before Ty. Ty was kind of like,
I think. Well, I have a feeling it's because Van is redhead, and this mm-hmm. is her first interracial relationship, so she's going to treat it very differently. It's the only reason. That's not even gay. She's just like, it's my first black partner. I don't know, whatever you want. Whatever what do you want to do? I got this white guilt.
Yeah.
No, but yeah. I think that happening in present day, and then they do this weird, not completely explained, but the Queen of Hearts card.
Right.
To decide who they're going to kill next, question mark?
Right, yeah. It's a little funky. Not my favorite stuff. And of course, the biggest thing that happened is Lottie is dead. So,
oh, sweet. You know, I don't, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a believer, but sweet Jesus, and thank the Lord of the forest for killing Lottie.
Yeah. I don't know. Because
every single time she was on screen and I was like, why is she still around? She tried to kill you. Why is she in this house?
Yeah,
that's just a lot to deal with.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought it's a pretty bold move, because I did see some like them all doing press together, and they talked about, oh, they're all together or whatever, like with their different actresses and stuff. And they were all like, oh, this is going to be the best season ever. There wasn't even a hint that like a death was coming. Anybody so
was, yeah, that's true. And it was a good one, yeah.
I guess so. We'll see.
Who do we kill next? Callie.
Dude, there's gonna be nobody left. It's just gonna be Misty. This is Misty's show now. I mean,
basically, right?
Yeah.
Or make Elijah Wood the new main character for no reason.
Yeah, that's true. Another standout. Pretty.
So I think what's happening is they started hiring male writers onto the show. So it's like a nice little pivot to where it's just going to be an all male cast that saves the day.
Well, dude, that's it.
All white guys.
I think
Andrew Tate's going to join the show.
Andrew Tate's definitely, yeah. Holy incels. Hell.
I love this show.
Yeah.
You never know where it's going
to
go.
Change the name from Yellow Jackets to incels. So, no, well, I want to just, this was directed by Jennifer Morrison. It was also written by, I believe, two women too. So I don't know. I think we're back in mixed territory again with Yellow Jackets. Like, I felt like we had three banger episodes to kick off the season, and now we're kind of like treading water a little bit and having sort of same issues. So, I mean, they have time to write the ship, but we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. Then I guess Ben dies next episode, right?
Who knows?
How long are you going to drag this out?
Because I believe they'll drag it out for a full season. The way they do the show.
True. All
right. Hey, Shauna killed somebody. You remember that? No, who gives a shit? Doesn't matter.
Sweep it under the rug.
Everybody in the family is just like, you know, shit happens.
She's a good mother.
Oh, mom.
Yes.
Stab the guy that she was sleeping with behind dad's back. You're our bad.
Yeah, exactly. Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Rabid 1977. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Drum roll, please.
For David Cronenberg's Rabbits, right? That's what we were watching. Real quick, did you know that there was a 2018, I think, version of Rabid?
Mm-mm.
Somebody remade it. I didn't know that. It like popped up and I was like, this isn't the movie I've been watching. What the hell is this?
Is it any right. good?
I don't know. I didn't try to watch it.
Fair.
Mostly because I'll give you my feelings about this movie. coming in at number 3 for Rabbit by David Bonin and Cronenberg. Epidemic caused by some dick.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
I assume that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for Rabbit. Truthfully, Armpit Monster does suck.
Yeah. Fair.
And coming in at number 1 for David Cronenberg's Rabid, extra weird Old Spice commercial.
Extra weird Old Spice commercial.
Yeah. Do you ever watch the Tim and Eric Old Spice commercials or Terry Crews as like, is that my left bicep talking and his bicep is talking?
Oh, yes. Yeah, like it's Terry Crews. Yeah.
A lot of armpit action in this movie.
Day, don't kink shame armpit action, bro. don't be that guy.
I just like how it's a lot of, like, for example, a couple of guys are like, ooh, I'm going to rape this woman. And she's like, oh, hug? Like, they don't show how she does it, but I'm like, how did your armpit penis fucking stab these people?
Is that where he's... Never mind.
I'm just saying Cronenberg's got some kinks.
No shit. I think this is...
What's the fuck a TV that has armpits?
I'm assuming weren't a big fan of this one.
I didn't love it, no. I appreciate it. I don't know. It was just... I don't want to say it was a little boring.
Okay.
But I think because things were really dragged out.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, it was like really fast paced to a point where I was like, wait, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I knew the epidemic that was happening was directly caused by her, but I didn't quite understand how.
Right.
I don't think it's really explained either, right? It's just the cosmetics that they use for the skin and shit is probably infecting people also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think, I would say overall I'm mixed, but I will say I feel like a lot of his, things that reappear in his movies all the time are here, yeah. Right? Like the body horror stuff, the weird...
the weird leather pants.
That's sort of like this ultra violent, almost like and it's all predicated like on like sex as well, just kind of the themes that he kind of like again resurfaces again and again, body horror, sex.
Our lead protagonist is gonna have like 10 minutes of screen time, I think.
Right.
It's a little weird.
Or like how science, he always has this thing where like science is going to be our downfall or something, right? Like it's always going to be a bunch of like men talking in a building, talking about like how science is going to destroy them and stuff. So it's always going to be like new technology or new something that's going to cause an epidemic.
Or like capitalism creating a new problem.
Yeah. Exactly.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I do like, I'm going to mention one of my favorite parts of this movie is this guy is infected. They keep calling it rabies, right? Because they just don't know what else to call it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a truck driver or something. And like the head of the truck driving company is like, I need him now. And he goes to like one area. We're like, are you back there? And it's like this weird dark area between two trailers. Like, why would he know he's back there?
Right. Yeah.
What a weird.
Then he gets.
It's
got
a little low budget. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, measuring it to today's kind of standards. Yeah, it is. Goofy from the get-go, right? Because you have the motorcycle crash, and it's pretty there's some nice shots, there's some nice cinematography in it, right? And the motorcycle riding, but like the crash looks bad and like,
yeah, it, and how this lady does not have like 90% of her body burned when that motorcycle blew up on top of her.
Yeah, they're very lenient with the fire.
All that happened was like, yeah, her armpit got torn open. I don't understand, like,
right. Yeah, it's just like all of this is sort of pinned on the predication that like they happened to be by this plastic surgery, experimental plastic surgery building that they took her to, yeah, and they gave to her without permission, I guess. That's which and eventually led to
the head of the company, right, is just like, I don't want to sit in on this meeting about being the Costco of cosmic surgery. I forgot what they said, but he hears about the crash. He's like, let's go save some lives. Like, what, you're a fucking plastic surgeon? Like, not a fucking doctor.
A real like, doctor. But yeah. Yeah, which eventually leads to her starting an epidemic kind of thing happening in Canada and stuff like that. So
her penis armpit monster keeps sucking people's blood.
Yeah, that was a little disturbing. Like, that's something that did work for me. Her mouth in her armpit, which was, I thought, yeah, very weird. And it definitely, like without being vulgar, like looked...
Dog dick, right?
Yeah, that part of it. But just looking at it, it did, without being vulgar, like, it did look like genitalia, right? It looked like female genitalia, but...
It was kind of like the... Well, I guess it would have been around the same time. I was going to say the predecessor for Alien. Maybe that's where the Xenomorphs got the idea. Or, you know.
You had mentioned for the Xenomorphs. Yo, I was going to say, you had mentioned you had made I think you had sent me something. He texted me something about like not being a fan of Marilyn Chambers or something like that. Or the lead.
Marilyn.
The lead in this. Porn star. Is it Marilyn Chambers? Is that her name?
I don't think I had an issue with her. It was the dude that I thought sucked.
Oh, the love interest or whatever, the boyfriend.
Yeah, I was like, man, what is this? This guy is horrible.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
There's a part at the end where he's having like a fight with her about like what she's accidentally done. Mm-hmm. And it's just some of the worst acting I've ever seen. He's like all of a sudden screaming and crying, but his eyes haven't really moved. I'm like, I don't know, man. This isn't working for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forgot his name. Frank something? Frank Miller. No, Frank.
Moore.
Moore.
Yeah. Heart Red. Heart Red. That's his name of the character.
Yeah. That guy that played Murray Cipher, Joe Silver, he had a fucking fantastic voice. But again, another guy that was like, he's in the movie, but not very much. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this movie is chunks of people that got infected and then what happened to them, which doesn't really directly tie into the story. It's just like, this is what happened.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea that like this Rose character is kind of spreading this epidemic. I mean, you could even look closely since this is what, like late 70s? This is almost like AIDS and disease. It's kind of like mirroring those fears or concerns.
A fun little part is they started giving people rabies shots,
mm-hmm,
to squash this. You get a bunch of news, like broadcast stuff. And my favorite part was like, and if you've been vaccinated and you need to go out, please bring your vaccination card.
What? <Dude. laughs> Yeah. Seems like
Cronenberg started COVID.
You heard it here, folks. he was in China. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I think it's it's kind of we don't have any really new ideas on how to deal with a pandemic, do we? Either. No. So this is late 70s. So anyways, social commentary aside, I thought it was kind of interesting that like she, especially how they try to exploit like this Rose character, how she's trying to be like, she's hungry, right? So she tries to, she like seduces all these men very easily, you know, and it sort of mirrors the fact that Marilyn Chambers was a porn actress before this, and so this was like her first like legit movie. which I think is really smart because it sort of conveys that provocativeness that Cronenberg loves to play with, right? So I thought those scenes were really interesting. It kind of goes on and on and on, right? And she kind of just feels like, at some points, it just kind of feels like she's going into one scenario after another, you know what I mean? It just kind of has less effect. But I thought early on, it worked.
And luckily she did. Oh, she was in a movie with Dustin Diamond.
Good for her.
I just think it's important to note that, yeah, she went on to do many hits like Porn Dogs, The Adventures of Sadie,
mm-hmm.
where she voices a Labrador. Anyway, that's going to be the next movie we review. It's called Porn Dogs, The Adventures of Sadie.
That's Patreon content right there. Stretch goals. But yeah, negatives, I would say this is pretty like, it's a B movie. This is B grade movie with a couple of interesting ideas and
maybe just it's too long, right?
Yeah. What's the running time on this? Was it like 90 minutes or?
The running time is an hour and a half. Okay. Yeah. Too long. I also had issues because I was trying to watch it on Tubi, and if for any reason I paused the movie, it would play for another 2 minutes and then start from the beginning after a commercial. I'm like, God damn it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, there's some fun things about it.
Right.
I feel like purists are going to say this movie's fantastic. They're the same people that say Salem's Lot is actually a good movie.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting overall. I think it's like an interesting kind of footnote, but not necessarily. Cronenberg will clearly go on to do bigger and better things the next decade, right? In the '80s and nineties and stuff. And
I'll also say, when did Brood came out after this, right?
Yes.
So I think the Brood is kind of a more fleshed out, better version of this movie.
And he did something similar with Shivers, which I kind of felt like Shivers at least was trying to be satirical, kind of a comedy, which was, I mean, because they're essentially like almost the same movies, right? They're like, he's kind of tackling the same thought thing where it's like this outbreak and it's spreading everywhere, but
except this is like out in the world, right?
Right.
Not contained to one building.
Right. Which almost, I think worked more for me in Shivers, that aspect of it, as well as the sort of satire aspects is too. This movie was a little more like B movie, straight ahead provocativeness. Yeah,
there was no like woman that had like 100 empty bottles of different liquor hanging out on her wall with a crocheted woman with big boobs.
Just
didn't have it. It wasn't there.
Clearly different art team. Yeah.
He hired the squares on this one. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. More typical folk.
Very little boobies in this one. I was like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's not working for me.
Yeah, not enough breasts, guys. Okay. Do you want to go into spoilers?
Yeah, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. What are we spoiling? It's an armpit dick monster. I was just like, it's hard not to talk about that right away. It's like,
yeah. I mean, we could talk about the funny scene where they use the same shot twice.
Here's the other thing. I don't know what happened. I think did you watch this on Tubi?
Yes.
Towards the end, did you get like a weird, like maybe they try to digitally transfer this from like film or whatever, and there's like weird, like, it started glitching on me, like it got stuck, but it didn't look like it was the internet or like the program's fault. It looked like it was the actual recording. I don't know.
I don't think I saw this on,
maybe it was an artistic choice.
Kind of saw this on my iPad, so I didn't like, wasn't like completely like tuned in with it. So
yeah. That was the other thing. I feel like some of the other Cronenberg movies, like, I'm just fully fucking immersed. And then this one, I was just kind of, I kind of checked out.
Yeah, same. I kind of feel also the love story's kind of, it's whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah. What love story? Well, I think it's because that guy was a terrible actor.
Yeah, he had challenges. Definitely, yeah. He had some challenges here.
I feel more concerned about the dude with the deep voice and his wife that you only get to meet at the end when she jumps out and kills him.
Yeah, it just feels like kind of like, basically what I'm trying to say is like it's interesting that they're kind of going like this, the soft porn aspect of this, and they try to like hide that up at every point. It's, yet it's kind of tries to weave the story of as realistically as he can, because that's Cronenberg really good at. He likes to get into like the details of things, right? Like the sort of science, or like the if this were to really happen scenarios and how it would play out. So some of that stuff I thought rang true. Yeah, but I didn't understand how, like, even though she was like patient zero or whatever, like the people she would turn would be monsters, right? Like almost zombie-ish, and but yet have this affection for wanting blood, right? So they're almost vampires too, yeah, at turns. Yet she doesn't show any of these characteristics as the movie goes on.
Yeah, and it almost seemed like this thing that grew out of her armpit is controlling her emotions and decisions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Also not explained too much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well... I think that's about it. Other than what, I guess one thing we could spoil is at the end, she has a conversation with her love interest, and she like fucking pushes him down the stairs, right? So he knocks out.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, he was wearing his really tight, flared out leather beige pants.
As you do, yeah.
And she's telling him, like, I found a partner of sorts to prove that I'm not the cause of all this. And then of course she gets killed by somebody she churned.
Right. And it had a very almost Romero ending, right? Where it's like they're collecting garbage and there are those hazmat suits. Yes. And they're disposing the bodies in a garbage truck. They're picking them all up in a garbage truck. I don't know if they're like disposing of them.
I don't know if that's like the best way to dispose of a body, where you're afraid of like the blood transfer, if you just crush up the body and spread the blood all over the back of a garbage truck.
Yeah, I kind of thought about that. I was like, well, that wouldn't make sense. Maybe that's how they mass collect all of these bodies, because everybody's dying, right? Because it's spreading so fast.
Because this film's logic is like, they're not going to tear, they're going to turn into little cubes. And then we have a bunch of little cube bodies that we can burn up later.
Canadians, man, what are you gonna do? Yeah. So polite. We brought your cube. Here's your right before the hockey game. So that's all I got.
That was pretty good.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I felt good about it.
Ryan Reynolds, Alanis Morissette, Michael Ironside. So I always forget his fucking Canadian.
Oh, no shit. Yeah, he to me is the most American person I've ever right, imagined. Yeah,
he's always playing like a badass, like militant guy. Like, yeah, I'm all American, motherfucker. And like, nah, you're Canadian.
Yeah. Cool. Do you? That's it. Then you're gonna move on to rate the movie.
I'm gonna rate the movie.
All right. Do you have any last thoughts before we rate the movie? Just overall impressions.
Not really? I didn't think the movie was terribly interesting enough, I guess I should say.
Right.
It was fine. It had interesting things. It just wasn't interesting enough to keep my attention.
Yes, I feel this pretty typical movie. In considering it's Cronenberg, right? Like, cause he,
you, yeah. Since it's Cronenberg, I was kind of, it left me wanting, right? Like, I was expecting more. I think,
right?
Weirder, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think it does go places, right? But I don't think it. He's still figuring it out. This is like one of those, like, when you you hear a band and then you're like, oh yeah, they kind of like, you go back and hear their early stuff. He's like, oh yeah, you kind of sound like what they're going to sound like, but not yet. Kind of.
Yeah.
And hasn't quite figured out his thing yet. He's not working confidently. He's still budget constrained.
Yeah. He's hopefully going to mature into something better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because I mean,
unlike Chaperone and her new song, which I think sucks. I said it on the air. Whatever that weird country song is, I don't like it.
Was it what? She has another country song?
The Giver? Or the something like that? It's, I tried to listen to it like three times and I was like, this is not doing it. I don't like this. It sounds like the real stereotypical sort of bubblegum country.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost what Beyonce did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just disappointing.
Do you hate women? Got it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I haven't even heard it, to be fair. I don't know. I can't talk about it.
She doesn't bring more to it. Just no more of that, please. I mean, she can do it.
I enjoyed her kind of country song. I told you about it last time. Was it Casual? Is that what it's called?
Oh, that song fucking rules, yeah.
I thought it was that's a really good song. It has the same.
That one's really, really good.
Yeah.
But this one, like, you'll hear it, it's like very
pop country,
radio pop, yeah,
dude, country. Well, all this shit's pop music, bro. Like Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, her, Beyonce, Dua Lipa. Like, I mean, I don't want to throw shade at Dua Lipa, but yeah, I know. I mean, it's we're in a pop era right now.
Yeah. I mean, good for pop music.
I mean, I'm not complaining. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Alrighty. rate the movie. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Rabid 4.3 sexy spooky bones.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna say it's a 5 for me. I didn't think it was. That was pretty harmless, even its slower parts.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think it has rewatchability for me.
Fair. Yeah. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky and keep those leather flare tight pants on. Thank you.